Given that that's the case, of course, then I don't know there's an elephant in the corner, because you can't know something that's false. It's a contradiction to say, isn't it, to say to somebody, he knows there's an elephant in the corner, but there is no elephant in the corner, or it's not true there's an elephant in the corner. He knows that the Battle of Hastings took place in 1066, but it's not true that the Battle of Hastings... You can't say that. For something to be known, it must be true. So knowledge consists at least of these two necessary conditions, belief and truth. Now, you might think that that's sufficient. If somebody has a true belief, don't they have knowledge? Not quite, because they also need to be justified in the belief that they hold. It's not enough just to have a belief which is accidentally true. Here's an example. I just guess about something. I'm just wondering about the lottery. I'm going to win the lottery, and I just make a guess, and I say, well, I'm going to win the lottery tomorrow. Perhaps it's wishful thinking, maybe it's just a guess. I form that belief. It turns out that it's true. Suppose, actually, I do win the lottery tomorrow. So I had a true belief when I formed that belief. Did I know I'd win the lottery tomorrow? Well, no, I didn't know that, because I had no reason whatsoever to believe that I would, that it would be me. I just guessed. It just came into my head. I liked the idea, so I ended up believing it. But I wasn't justified in believing it. So in order for me to have knowledge of something, I need to have a justification for my belief. So knowledge seems to have these three elements of truth, justification, and belief. These are the necessary conditions of knowledge, and they seem to be sufficient conditions, though, as we'll see toward the end of this lecture, they aren't quite sufficient conditions. There's a little bit of a problem in this particular conceptual analysis. Now, what we've done here is we've engaged in what philosophers call conceptual analysis. We've taken a concept, the concept of knowledge, and we've examined it reflectively and tried to figure out what it consists of, what it's made up of, what these other concepts are that compose it. We found out that our concept of knowledge breaks down into these three different parts: truth, justification, and belief. And as a result of this, we've provided an analysis of the concept and something which philosophers often call an analytic truth, which means a truth which is justified merely by the analysis of a concept. We just looked at the concept, we thought about it, and we found out what's contained in the concept. So if I say to you the following, knowledge is true, justified belief, I state an analytic truth, that is a truth which follows merely from the concept of knowledge. It took a little bit of work to get it, not much work, but a bit of work. We had to look at the concept, think about it a bit, but anybody can see when they do go through this work that that is what the concept of knowledge involves, these three conditions. We can just see that just by having the concept of knowledge. So we've just completed our first piece of philosophical analysis. Now, that's the first thing to say about this. So if we go back to what we discussed in the previous lecture, what is the sceptic saying? Now we've got this analysis to play with. The sceptic is basically focusing on the justification condition for knowledge. The sceptic is saying our justification for our beliefs is by no means watertight. If you say to me, why do you believe there's a bottle of water in front of you? And I say, well, it looks to me there's a bottle of water there. A sceptic would say, well, that's not a very good justification, because in a dream you would have that appearance too of there being a bottle of water in front of you, but that would be an illusion. So it would be false in that case. So your alleged justification for your belief is not a very good justification. It doesn't actually imply that your belief is true. So the sceptic, putting it in the terms that we've now got before us, is questioning our justifications, particularly questioning the relationship between our justifications and the truth of what we believe, and saying that the justifications we produce never themselves entail or add up to the truth of our beliefs. There's always a gap between justification and truth. So, according to the sceptic, we don't have the right to the beliefs that we normally take ourselves to have, because our justifications are not good enough. Now, we've brought in, at this stage, three very important concepts which will recur throughout these lectures and which are very important to be clear about and which are hard to be clear about. So we're going to have to do some hard work now to think about these different concepts, which most people don't think about. Let's begin with the concept of belief. What is it to believe something? What actually is that? The way philosophers understand this, it's not limited to things like religious belief or political belief. It covers the wide range of commitments that a person has to things, to propositions, the things being so. So I believe there's a bottle in front of me. I believe I'm giving a lecture. I believe I was paddling on the bay yesterday. These are all cases of beliefs, not just things like religious beliefs. So these are all commitments to truth.